message, we're continuing our series on labor to enter into God's rest, the Exodus. This is part four, but we're going to do a little bit of review, and just our review scripture is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You see, unbelief is extremely important because it blocks what we need from God. We're going to see that through scripture today. In fact, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Now, when I saw this evil, unbelieving heart, I thought, boy, that's pretty harsh words. But I want to show you that what he's saying, you have an evil, unbelieving heart in the fact that you're falling away. Well, what is falling away? I looked this word up in the Greek. This falling away, the Greek word is aphistemi. And it comes from two Greek words put together. Apo denotes separation, departure, or reversal from a relationship. That's pretty important. Histemi is I place myself, I stand, I set in balance, or I weigh it out. In other words, to fall away here is meaning that I am choosing to separate myself from the Lord. I am choosing my own thoughts, my own will, and my own intent, my own what I can see, feel, taste, touch, and hear over what God has said. We're going to get deeper into this and see just how upsetting this is to God. But when I first read that it was an evil, unbelieving heart. Now look, you know, all of us have had times of doubt and we all struggle with unbelief. But to say that we're evil? Ouch. I don't like that. I don't want to consider myself evil. So I had to ask myself, what made their unbelief, or what made their heart considered to be evil? They chose to believe their five senses over God. Unbelief must be seen as evil by you and I. We have to see unbelief as an evil thing. Because as long as we see it as an okay thing, well, you know, we all struggle with it, we won't do anything about it. But when we get to the point to where we see unbelief as being evil, well, we don't want anything evil in us, so we'll work on it. So it's important for us to see that this is evil. Now look at Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading in verse 25. This is talking about the children of Israel. When they returned from spying out the land, they brought back word to Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him, being Moses, and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and it is, and this is its fruit." But we need to stop right here. You take a look at the history of the children of Israel. We're standing and looking at it from a point of view that was already past. And we look at them sometimes and I can't believe they acted like that. I mean, they could see these grapes, clusters of grapes that are so big they have to be carried on a stick between two men. They saw that the land was great, full of milk and honey, just flowing, just going. It was a great land. But I have to tell you, our butts get us in a lot of trouble. Because we will say the same thing. Well, I know the Bible says, but. Well, I know that God has provided healing for me, but. We're always making an excuse for ourselves, is what but means. It means that we don't believe, we know he said it and we believe it, but we have special circumstances that means it's okay for us. That's what it really means. We're just justifying ourselves. And that's what the children of Israel, these spies, these 10 spies, that's what they're doing. They're just justifying themselves. But listen to what they say. But the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Now, I'm going to hang around here for just a second. It took 40 years for them to finally get to Jericho. That was one of the cities. Remember, they marched around the city of Jericho 7 times? And the walls fell down. That great, mighty fortress, the walled city, fell. But here's the thing I want you to know. Jericho was an inhabited city of about 24,000 people. That's a pretty big city, huh, for back then? Do you know how many the Jews were when they left Egypt? 2.5 to 3.5 million. Million. It's like taking the city of Houston and surrounding Conroe. Conroe has more people than what Jericho had back then. And it's like Houston being afraid that Conroe's going to come attack us. It's like we outnumber them so much. How could we even think to worry about that? Because they were allowing fear to come in. And fear will always exaggerate the truth. In fact, let's look at what they are saying here. But the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now that's important because the descendants of Anak were giants. We're going to see that in Scripture here in a minute. The Amalekites, live in the Nevega. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Now, we'll stop here for a second. Think about Israel. If you've ever seen a map of Israel, when you cross over Jordan, you cross over into the Promised Land, you cross over into Israel, and they said there's Canaanites right there. What's on the other side of Israel? The sea. So they're saying that the Canaanites are on both, we'll be surrounded by them. They'll be on both sides of us. They'll be behind us by the Jordan, and they'll be in front of us by the sea. So we'll be surrounded on all sides. They're everywhere. Of course, they're saying that they're exaggerating, because if they were everywhere, these other nations, these other peoples couldn't be there. Then Caleb, now I want to mention to you that Caleb's name here means forcible, an attack, like an attack dog. Now before, I want to back up to, when we read through all these Hittites, Amalekites, Jebusites, and all these ites, that's all they are to us, is a bunch of ites. But name denotes character. So I took time to look up these names and seen what they meant. And their names meant things like chain about the neck. That was one of the names of them. Choking, labor. One of them just meant south. You ever heard anybody things? Well, things are really heading south now. This is what the people were speaking when they were calling out the names of these peoples. Terror, trodden underfoot, spoken to, humiliated. That was the names that those tribes meant. So that's what the children of Israel were speaking forth. Negative, unproductive, fearful things. We're just going to go out there and be humiliated. That's what they were saying. But then Caleb, the forcible, the attack dog, stilled the people before Moses, and he said, now, listen, this whole lesson today is about saying, what are we speaking of out of our mouth? Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But, oh, those buts again. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against that people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. Now here again, where did we get that evil report from? Unbelieving. See it back in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12? Evil, unbelieving. Evil report comes from unbelieving. It's an unbelievable report. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had spied out unto the sons of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone in through to spy it out, it is a land that eats up its inhabitants." Now hang on just a second. The people that are inhabiting the land are eaten up. Do you see the fallacy in what they're saying? The inhabitants of the land are eaten up. If they were eaten up, there wouldn't be any inhabitants there, would there? You see how fear will exaggerate things to you? Fear won't even make common sense if you'll stop and really think about it and listen to it. The land eats it up. Well, if the land ate up the inhabitants, there couldn't be any inhabitants there to eat up, could there? And then here they start exaggerating again. "And all the people we saw, all of them, in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, a race of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now, how did they know how they looked in their sight? Did they go and ask them, "Hey, how do you think I look? Do you think I look small in your sight?" No. They seen themselves as small. They perceived themselves as weak. They perceived themselves as defeated already. In fact, I didn't write this down for you, but I want to take you further in history here and think about the day of Jericho. Before Jericho, before they marched around it, 40 years after this was stated, they sent some more spies out. Remember, two spies went into the city of Jericho, and they were about to be captured, but Rahab hid them. I want to read Rahab's words to you. She says, I didn't write it down for you, but Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9, Rahab says, "I know the Lord has given you this land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us. For we have heard," and then she goes on to tell them all the things that we've heard. "We've heard about when you guys left Egypt. We've heard about the plagues. We've heard about the Red Sea, you crossing the Red Sea. We've heard about the previous battles that you won, how you totally destroyed your enemies." This is what she said. "We've heard about all this." And then in verse 11 of Joshua chapter 2, she says, "And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you." For 40 years, they had been fearing the children of Israel. Yet the children of Israel was afraid of them. I'm here to tell you that the devil is afraid of you. But most of us fear what the devil can do more than what we need to. He needs to shake every time you wake up and your feet hit the floor saying, "Oh no, she's up again. Oh no, he's awake." He's the enemy, and he is a defeated foe. So where's the battle? Right here. Of how you see yourself. The way we see of ourselves determines the way we see everything else. Knowing whose you are keeps fear from belittling you. You're not a small fry. You're not a little fish in a big pond. You are more than an overcomer. That's the way the devil sees you, and he's trying everything he can do to get you, to keep you from speaking the word of God over your life. Because if he can get you to start speaking about fear, you won't enter in. You won't take possession of what God has for you. That's what he's afraid of. Let's look in Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. And Joshua, of course, Joshua, we told you Caleb meant he was like a watchdog. Joshua meant the Lord is salvation. That's his name. The Lord is salvation. So these two guys, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephu, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregations of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us." Now let's stop there for a second. Some people see this as Caleb and Joshua speaking here and saying a matter of question. Well, we don't know. I know God can heal us, but I don't know if he will. They're saying it like, well, if God is pleased with us, if, you know what pleases God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Your faith. In other words, if you believe what he says, it pleases him. That's all. Just believe what he says. He said he would give them the land. So if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Look at this. He's telling them, fear is what's keeping you from possessing what God has given you. God has already defeated the devil through Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross, he made an open spectacle of Satan. And he defeated him, triumphing over him. It's already done. Now, he's telling us to go take what he's already done. Go get it. It's yours. Go get it. It belongs to you. Fear and rebellion are really related. Fear and unbelief is considered rebellion because it's telling God no. Have you ever thought of that? That's what you do when you fear. You're telling God no. God is saying, it's yours. I've given it to you. It belongs to you. Now go take it. And it upsets him for you to tell him no. No, God. I know you said that, God, but... Well, Mark, you just don't understand how sick I feel. You don't understand how the devil's been beating me up. It's time you start beating up the devil. How do you do that? It's not your strength. It's his strength. By relying and trusting on him. This upset God a lot. In fact, let's read on in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation?" Now again, evil is what? Unbelieving. "Who are grumbling against me." Now notice that the children of Israel, these spies, they were just talking to the congregation, talking to Moses and Aaron and talking to Caleb and Joshua. But God took it personal and said, they're complaining against me. "I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me." Verse 28, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I surely do to you." It is important what comes out of your mouth. Quit saying, "I forget everything." Quit saying, I'm always sick. Who told you that? It certainly wasn't God. Well, but Mark, I feel. Who said anything about feelings? See, you're letting your feelings dictate what's going on. You're letting your circumstances dictate what's going on. You can't do that. Stick to the promises of God. Because of all their complaining that they did, God said to them, "As sure as I live, just as you've spoken in my hearing, so will I surely do to you. Your corpses shall fall in the wilderness, even all you your numbered men according to your complete number for 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not overcome the land in which I have swore to settle you, except for two people. Now, who do you think these two people that are going to go in? The ones that didn't give a negative report. The ones that didn't say murmuring and complaining and unbelief. The ones who didn't speak this. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become prey, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. I ask you this morning, have you rejected some of the promises of God through unbelief? But as for you, your corpses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they shall suffer for your unfaithfulness. Think about it. Your unfaithfulness, your doubt and unbelief affects other people. It affects your children and your grandchildren. It's important that we maintain our faithfulness. Look, I don't know how. I just know that God said. And if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I don't understand all things, but I understand what the Word of God said to me. By His stripes I am healed. Well, I don't know how the healing is going to manifest itself. I just know it is because He said it, and He can't lie. My unbelief will affect my children, but look how He said this. They shall suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpse lie in the wilderness. According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you shall know my opposition. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Surely this will I do to all this evil congregation, this unbelieving congregation, who are gathered together against me. He's taking it personal. This is the wilderness. In this wilderness they shall be destroyed, and there shall be, and they shall die. That's where it's going to die. Faith does not speak death by complaining. It speaks life. Don't speak what you feel. Don't speak what you see. Don't speak about your circumstances. Speak what God has promised you. Speak about the provisions. You know the wonderful thing about that word provision? Provision. He already saw you had need before you ever had need of it. He saw it well in advance. And He knew you was going to need healing. He knew you was going to get sick in this, in your body. He knew you was going to have financial troubles. He knew. But He already made a provision for it. And that provision is called Jesus Christ. And so through His provisions, we don't have to suffer at the hands of the enemy anymore. So we're not going to complain. We're going to go with the promises. In fact, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And we found that in the Old Testament. But let's look ahead to the New Testament. And let's look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, what is evil? Unbelief. The unbelieving man, out of the unbelief or the evil treasure in his heart, brings forth what is unbelieving or evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Other translations say it, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Have you ever heard that? You know, I can talk to somebody and I can just listen to somebody talk for a while, and I can pretty well tell where their relationship with God is. If all they're talking about is their problems and their troubles and their tribulations and what they're going through and how bad it is and everything, you can tell that they're not close with God. Now, they may pray to him every day. They may tell him all about their problems, but they're not standing upon his word. My dad was a pastor. I remember he pastored a small country church, and one day he would always, as his custom was to greet people as they were coming in. He'd be standing at the front door shaking. And there was one dear lady, every time she come, and his habit was, well, good morning, how are you doing this morning? You know, asking how are you? She'd always say, well, that old devil's beating up on me today. I tell you what. And, well, she'd go off on a rant, you know, of how good the devil was, I guess, or how bad he's been to her and all that. It got to where every time he saw her coming, he was going, oh, okay, I got to say something else. I got to do something else. Finally, he just grabbed her hand when she come and said, how are you doing this morning? Great, glad to hear it. Have a good day. It just brought her on through, you know, just before she could say anything else. You know, get her on in there before she can say it. Quit bragging on the devil. Man, that's evil to brag on the devil. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood rose, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. You are children of God. His design, plan, and purpose for your life is not defeat, but victory. The only way that you can suffer defeat is if you build your house upon the wrong thing. If you build your house upon doubt and unbelief about the world and what it says, then your house will not stand. I mean, he puts it pretty plain. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them. You got to act upon his word. Not just have it in your head, but have it in your heart. That every time the enemy comes against you with something, say, yeah, but you may think that, but God said. Find scriptures of what you're going through. Because I promise you, the scriptures you find won't be telling you, yep, you're defeated. Yep, you're going through them, and you're never going to see the end of this. No, in fact, most of the scripture says, and it came to pass. Didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Most of the scriptures tell us when we're in a trial and tribulation, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We are overcomers. So, it boils down to this one point. As the children of Israel had the promise set before them, and God said, there it is. Go get it, boy. It's yours. You can make that choice to say, yes. Everything this book says, everything the Bible says belongs to me. I am his child. Or you can do like the children of Israel did. And you can say, yeah, but I know it's over there. I know he has healed. But, and then you make off a lot of excuses. But, well, you don't understand what the doctor said. The doctor said this is terminal. I got news for you. Living here on this earth is terminal. Okay, we're all going to die one day and see the Lord. Don't worry about that. You worry about what the book says. And so you have a choice, just like the children of Israel did. You have a choice to believe and receive, or doubt and do without. What is God's will for you? To receive. It's not his will for you to do without. Why would he make provisions for you if he wanted you to do without? He wants you to receive, but it's your choice. He's already done the work on the cross. It's your choice to receive by going after what he has promised you. If you have lack somewhere in your life, if you lack healing, if you lack financial prosperity, if you lack anything, if you lack children being saved, don't say, well, I hope one day they'll be saved. Believe it. Pray for them. Speak love to them. Follow the word of God. Be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And you shall have it. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word because it is truth. It is absolute. It is yes and amen. Thank you for all of your promises. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had, that you gave us a great picture and a lesson about the children of Israel, how they would not enter in because of their unbelief. Father, we make a conscious decision today to enter in and to receive every promise in this book because you've said it. It is ours. We receive it, and we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.